Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, and welcome to the 5th GNSOE PDP Phase 2 team meeting taking place on the 6th of June 2019 at 1400 UTC. In the interest of time, there'll be no roll call. Attendance will be taken by the Zoom room. If you're only on the telephone, could you please identify yourselves now? Hearing no one, we have listed apologies from Jules Helsingus of the NCSG, James Fladel of the RRSG, Greg Aaron of SSAC, and Amr Elzdar of NCSG. They have formally assigned Stefan Slipovic of NCSG, Sarah Wild of RRSG, Tara Whalen of SSAC, and Tatiana Tropina of NCSG as their alternate for this call and any remaining days of absence. Joining us late on today's call will be Chris Despain, the ICANN board liaison. Alternates not replacing a number are required to rename their line by adding 3 Z's to the beginning of their name and add alternate dash affiliation at the end, which means you are automatically pushed to the end of the queue. To rename in Zoom, hover over your name and click rename. Alternates are not allowed to engage in the chat apart from private chat or use any other room functionality such as raising hand or agreeing or disagreeing. As a reminder, the alternate assignment form must be formalized by the way of the Google assignment form. The link is available in the meeting invite email. Statements of interest must be kept up to date. If anyone has any updates to share, please raise your hand or speak up now. Seeing or hearing no one, all documentation and information can be found on the ePDP Wiki space. Please remember to state your name before speaking. Recordings will be circulated on the mailing list and posted on the public wiki space shortly after the end of the call. With this, I'll turn it back over to our chair, Yanis Karklin. Please begin.
So thank you, Terry. Hello, everyone. So we're now at our 5th meeting, and I would like to see whether the proposed agenda consisting of 8 points would be acceptable to all. I see no objections, so we will proceed accordingly. As you recall, last week we agreed on the text of call for inputs to ACs, SOs, and the subsequent letters has been sent out with a deadline of 21st June. Which will allow us to at least have a first glance at inputs during the Marrakesh meeting. So this was simply a point of information, and I was not planning to entertain discussion, just see whether there is anyone who would like to speak on the point. I see none. Working definitions. After our conversation last time, and if I may ask to get working definitions file on the screen, we got some inputs on the proposed text, and namely on the part of access and legitimate interests. So we tried to took into account provided inputs, and it is obvious that there is no consensus or no agreement on access definition. Some groups think that definition that I tried to propose as a compromise would be acceptable. Some groups said that that did not make any sense. So as a result, I would propose that this definition, working definition, remains in the text as chair's proposed definition, with the clear indication that this particular text was not agreed by the group as a whole. And the text on legitimate interest was modified according to proposed edits, And now I would like to open the floor to see whether we could take note on those working definitions with understanding that there was no agreement on one of them, and use them for the purpose of our exercise moving forward. Floor is open. I see Chris Lewis Evans from GAC. Please go ahead, Chris.
Good morning, good afternoon, everyone. Thank you. It's Chris Lewis Evans from the GAC here. We had a meeting within the GAC yesterday, just looking at the document that got sent round with the updates. And we only had sort of one extra comment, which might make the one that wasn't agreed a little bit more palatable for people. I'm sorry, it's not coming up on my screen. Is it on there? But if not, anyway, what we wanted to replace was
Terry, could you put up on the text on the screen? Or Caitlin?
Sorry, Yanis, we're putting it up right now. Thank you.
Yeah, Chris, please go ahead.
Yep. Thank you. So what we discussed within the GAC group was replacing the part around the portion of the data set that was provided and the wording around that. So the recommendation, and I'll put this in the chat in a second, is provision of a data set appropriate for the purpose. So we scroll down to... Okay, thanks. So replacing the section that says a full set or subset of non-public data with a provision of a data set appropriate for the purpose. We, within our group, we just thought that was probably answering some of the concerns that we heard last time, and that might be a little bit better. So I'll put the words in the chat now and see if anyone else
can. Okay, thanks. Thank you. Thank you, Chris. Margie, please.
Hi, it's Margie. Can you hear me?
Yes, please.
Okay, thank you. With regard to the new second bullet regarding third-party access, I would suggest that we change it because it's the definition is dependent on GDPR, but the policy is meant to be a global policy. So I think it should read something like the request of third parties to full that's fully compliant with applicable law as opposed to being specific to GDPR. So that would be my suggested change to that bullet point.
Okay, thank you very much. I think that can be accommodated easily. Alan, please.
Thank you.
Alan Woods.
Thank you, Alan Woods, for the record. I just have a request more so. I think... I fully understand there's been a lot of discussions back and forward on this particular bullet point, and I fully accept that, you know, as chair, you have to move things along, and I accept that point. However, because there were such polarized views on this, I think it might be helpful as well, instead of just saying that there was divergence and that this was chosen by the chair, I would like to understand as to what went into why we chose this particular one, and not necessarily on the call, or I think it would be worthwhile actually record as to why this was the preferred one, and then we can move on. But again, I mean, there are strong feelings on this because, you know, it is, we believe, fundamental. So I think I would make that request of the chair that if you are choosing this one, that, you know, to give the reason why this was the preferred one in your estimation, and then we can move on, at least it's on the record then. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Owen, for the question. Because during the last week's or during the last meeting, some groups said that they could accept that formulation as a compromise, and no other formulations have been proposed until now. So now two amendments to the or edits, basically to this formulation. Were proposed. I'm accepting them. So since this is simply a point of reference, nothing more than that, So there is no agreement on that. I accept that. I still felt that this is important to reflect something that some groups feel also strongly about. Hence, I'm proposing to keep it with a clear indication that there is no agreement on this particular working definition. I see Alan Greenberg. Alan, please go ahead.
Thank you. I can't see it because it's not quite scrolled up on the screen. Was the SSAD one changed to incorporate ICANN? And if not, when are we going to discuss ICANN's access? That currently it says third parties and ICANN is not a third party.
Okay, so you suggest that we put third parties including ICANN?
It's plus ICANN or wording to that effect. ICANN by definition is not a third party. We're probably a controller, although we haven't definitively said that. We're certainly a processor. So I don't think we can be a third party, but somewhere we have to talk about access for ICANN, and I see no reason to do it in a completely parallel process. So I would suggest we include ICANN here.
Okay. Thank you. We will do that. Alan Woods, it's your hand up again. Thank you. So with these suggested amendments, may I take that we can take note on this these working definitions and use them for the purpose of our exercise, not beyond that. Thank you. So the third item, sub-item on this was legal advisory group. So seems that the proposal that I put forward last week was not either fully understood or accepted. The meaning of my proposal was to create a subset of the team, a small one, not representative one, but small one, which would make a first cut of all legal issues that we need to address, and looking to those issues with a professional eye, and then propose something that team could discuss and potentially endorse. So I did not propose a representative group, and I proposed a small one. So the number of, I made the proposal, a number of team members volunteered and with the understanding that that would be a representation of their respective groups in the legal advisory group. And basically the whole idea was kind of undermined. And I see no really difference between a representative group consisting of one representative per group of the team, or three or more. So as a result, I withdraw my proposal to create this small legal team. And I'm suggesting that, as we have done so far, we would look at all legal questions during the plenary meeting. So I see Thomas. Thomas, hands up, please. Thomas.
Hi, Yannis. Hi, everyone. I'm so sorry, but I wasn't quick enough to raise my hand. My comment is actually relating to the previous discussion that we had. Chris made a suggestion. The amendment, and Chris had confirmed in the chat that he liked my proposed amendment, and Sarah plus one that. So I was just wondering whether in your final remarks that we accept the document as is, whether you had included that exchange in the chat. So I just want to make sure it doesn't get lost.
Yeah. I first of all suggested that we take note. We do not agree because there is something which is not agreed in the text. As a result, we cannot say that text is agreed. We take note on the of the working definitions, and then we will follow them for the. We'll use that understanding for the purpose of our exercise, and those suggestions will be incorporated after the meeting. As we speak, would that be okay, Alan?
Thanks very much, Janice.
Yeah, Alan, please. Alan Greenberg.
Sorry, too many things to unmute. Thank you. I would suggest that you have perhaps given in too easily. I agree with you that starting to have too many representation is problematic, and I think you should put to the group that either we accept your proposal or revert to the plenary as a whole to do legal decisions. If those are the only two options, your proposal may well be accepted. So although I understand why people ask for representation, if you're not willing to accept that, and I support that position because I think the group would become unwieldy, then perhaps your original suggestion is preferable to the EPDP as a whole doing the work. Thank you.
So thank you, Alan. Now you see, it's rather easy. I made suggestion. I withdraw suggestion. That does not change anything in the methods of work we are following. If the suggestion is not accepted, so then we simply continue as we do usually. So, of course, one can imagine another formula of representative group, which is small one, where every group is represented by one, and then we delegate all decisions on legal questions to that group, and that small but representative group takes full responsibility on legal issues and informs the whole team when they have reached agreement, and that is automatically the opinion of the group. But again, I do not want to really spend too much time on these procedural discussions, because ultimately, at the end of the day, the team will take decisions collectively as a whole. I see two requests for the floor. Georgios first, and then Volker.
Yes, hello. Am I audible?
Yes, loud and clear.
Yes, thank you. On this issue, I think a small group, big group, I'm not a fan of this question to debate now. What I'm more interested is that we get the support we seek from the legal counsel at the end, and we get it without having any type of censoring on the questions, and we get it fast. So I think I'm for any solution. I want to highlight that what we want to do with this type of clarifications and questions with the legal counsel, and I hope you confirm this, Yanis, is that we want a first reading of compliance and background information that the group might not have at hand. So I find that this is quite useful for our discussion. It can accelerate our discussions, but I would not like to lose too much time about the formalities. And I definitely don't want to lose time about how this will not work. I rather try to find out how this will work. So if the people who are participating in a bigger group, in representative group or whatever, can do so by asking those questions and getting fast and efficiently the report from the legal counsel, that's fine with me. Thanks.
Thank you. Now, the meaning of the or the task of the this group or team as such would be to formulate the right questions to see whether legal advice has not been given already to those questions, and as well as to see whether questions are relevant for the work of phase two. So that in order to avoid situation where we're asking a question which is good to know, but not really necessary for the phase two, taking into account that the legal advice apparently is rather costly. Volker is next, please. Volker.
Yes, thank you. And I appreciate the need for a small group to do exactly that, what you just said. I just think that this group needs to be balanced and all interests need to be represented there, even if not every stakeholder group needs to be present there. I don't want a group that makes decisions for the entire group. That's something that we've already discussed in phase one and abandoned as a concept, and I don't think we should go back to that. If we want a small team, that's fine. However, it should be clear that this team is not stuck to one certain interest or one certain direction of positions to make sure that the questions that are formulated are balanced and do not presuppose a certain outcome. Therefore, a balanced group is necessary.
So thank you, Volker. And I think that you confirmed my proposal. What can be more balanced than the team as a whole? So I would make a ruling that every legal question will be dealt in the team, and the staff and leadership will propose a work on all the background documents for consideration of the group. Christina, do you want to challenge me? Please, Christina, go ahead.
Yes, actually, I am. Christina Rosette, for the record. I'm just a little baffled as to why we seem to be so quickly not even considering the option for the legal committee that we used in phase one, namely a smaller representative group, which was primarily, if not exclusively, composed of lawyers. I think there may have been one or two non-lawyers. But that group seemed, the idea of that group and that group itself seemed to function fairly well. Obviously, there were some participants in that group who did not continue on to phase two. So it would be only fair, I think, to allow whatever stakeholder group or constituency had their member leave to nominate a new one. But quite frankly, given all of the things that we need to fix and all of the things that we need to invent, I am puzzled as to why we aren't just sticking with something that seemed to be working and generally didn't need to be fixed. Thanks.
Thank you. Alex Deacon, please.
Yes, thank you. This is Alex. Yeah, I just wanted to agree with Christina. I think it is a little premature to abandon the sub team concept. I wasn't around yesterday, so I didn't get a chance to respond to Mark Anderson's email to the list, which basically suggests that we keep it and explains, I think, all of the good reasons why it's important that we do so. So I would support continuing to have this as a separate subgroup to allow us to be more efficient in our debates and allow us to focus on the Thursday calls on or plenary calls on matters of substance, of course, with the backing and background of the information that the legal sub team is going to be providing to us. Thanks.
Okay, good. Thank you. So then I insist that my proposal is withdrawn, but based on Christina's proposal, may I suggest that each group nominates one person for the legal committee that we would constitute on the example of the first phase. And if you could let me know until next meeting your nominees, and those nominees will be representatives in the legal committee, which would do the job for the benefit of the team, and will present the outcome of their activities to the team as a whole for endorsement. So then by next meeting, we will have a representative legal committee based on proposal of Christina. Would that be okay? Any objections? I see none. Good, we'll proceed that way. Let us move then to the next item, and that is clarifying questions on the decision of the board to modify two of the recommendations from the first phase one. So we have received three, if I'm not mistaken, proposals. And we did not have time to consolidate them. And let me maybe suggest the following method. If I may ask each group which put forward proposal to briefly speak about it. And after each presentation, I will ask whether somebody is not in agreement completely with what was said. Because then we would then try to consolidate those proposals unless there is a violent disagreement on something, what has been said by others, in order to meet tomorrow's deadline for submission. Please, who will start? Any volunteers, or shall I call? Sarah, please.
Thank you. Hi. Just to confirm, you're looking for us to speak to the feedback that we've sent for the board?
Yes, indeed.
Okay, thank you.
Briefly, the essence.
Absolutely, yeah. So thank you. This is Sarah Wild from the Registrar Group. For the recommendation one, purpose two, we do not have concerns with the board's decision. So we support that choice. For recommendation 12, as you can see, we provided a significant amount of background information. I will just focus on our proposed solution. The board had a concern that deleting the org field would result in a domain that did not have a valid owner. This is, of course, an important concern that we should make sure to address. We have already considered this same problem with regards to the admin contact, which we are removing entirely. And there is a requirement in recommendation 29 to ensure that each registration contains a valid domain owner when the admin is deleted. So we could add a similar obligation for recommendation 12, such that prior to deleting the org field data, the registrar can ensure there is a valid name. I do believe it is important to be able to have a blank organization field for domains where that is the most appropriate way to indicate ownership. And so as such, we should have a way to do that. Thank you.
So thank you, Sarah. Mark Anderson.
Thanks, Giannis. It's Mark Anderson. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, loud and clear.
All right, great. So I guess the registry... registry working group members' feedback was similar to the registrar's. You know, I looked a lot at the impact of removing purpose two from the list of purposes, and from an implementation standpoint, I don't think it effectively changes how the phase one recommendations would be implemented. especially when you consider, you know, recommendation 3 and recommendation 18. Both of those recommendations were adopted by the board. And I think from a practical implementation standpoint, that's what we care about. And considering we have agreement to consider purpose 2 in more detail, purpose 2 in more detail in phase 2, I just think it's not worth our time to get bent around the axle on the decision by the board not to accept purpose 2. That was, I guess, the gist of the registry's comment on purpose 2. On the second one, on the organization field, we have some concerns about, what that modification means from an implementation standpoint, and that there may be some sort of unintended consequences. I think sort of the, maybe the implication that if there's incorrect or incorrect data in that field, inaccurate data, or there's data that registrars don't necessarily have consent to publish, the implication that they can't delete it is maybe a bit troublesome. And so I think, I think there we should take an opportunity to provide, more information to the GNSO Council and, by extension, the ICANN board about why that recommendation was made the way it was. And I also think the registrar's suggestion for, how to deal with deleting data, without creating a situation where contactability is lost. Obviously, contactability is important, and I think the registrar's suggestion was very practical, and can be handled as a matter of implementation. So the registry's feedback was to sort of support the registrar's suggestions on that matter. Thanks.
Thank you, Mark. Alan is next. Alan Greenberg.
Thank you very much. I'm a little bit confused about Sarah's comment. She ended saying she thinks it's important to be able to have a blank organization field. And my understanding is that was not the issue raised by the board. The issue raised that I thought was raised by the board was that we give the process was we give the registrant the ability to set the field the way they want, and that could include blank, but that if they didn't take that action, we gave the registrar the right to either continue to redact it or to delete it. And I believe that the board was objecting to the option where you were giving the registrant to, at their discretion, delete it. That if we simply said, if the registrant doesn't do anything, then it stays the same and is redacted. If they choose to blank it, they can blank it. So I think that all they were objecting to was the option we were giving registrars to, at their discretion, choose which way to go, not the overall process. Thank you.
So thank you, Ellen. Next is Margie.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, very well.
Thank you. On recommendation 1, purpose 2, I think we agree with the board or questioning regarding purpose 2, but I think we disagree with our colleagues about how to address it. The European Commission letter didn't say delete it. It said don't conflate it. So our proposal, and I sent an email about this yesterday, was to split it into 2 separate purposes, one for the ICANN purpose and one for the third party purpose. And I think that simply saying that the EPDP agrees with the board on this is probably not enough, because we need to give the, I think we as a collective group are in a better position to address that particular issue as opposed to leaving it to the GNSO, who doesn't have the background and on these issues. So our proposal is that this group, the EPDP group, come up with, you know, a revised version of purpose two. So that's Rec 1 purpose two. And with regard to recommendation 12, I think we came about it from a different perspective. As I recall the discussions in phase one, part of the concern was that there was a lot of inaccuracies in the org field. And so I think when we were talking about deletion, our understanding was that that related to inaccurate records, not as a, you know, a general concept that should apply across the board to any org field. So that's why our suggestion is that the recommendation be modified to allow the contracted parties to update any inaccuracies. And if it turns out there is no, you know, organization, for example, and I think that was the discussion that we had, then obviously you'd be deleting the org field, but that's part of the, you know, cleaning up the inaccuracies. So that's our suggestion for how to deal with recommendation 12. Thank you.
So thank you, Margie. I see Milton. Milton, please go ahead.
Hello. Yes, I'm just reacting to the proposed modification of purpose two, where we split it into an ICANN one and a third parties one that Margie proposed. I just want to point out that we had incredibly long discussions of creating a purpose that specifically mentioned consumer protection, cybersecurity, intellectual property, et cetera. And this was never accepted. This was in fact explicitly rejected. This was the only reason we got consensus on purpose two, was that we discarded that list and came up with the formulation that we came. So I'm really warning us not to try to relitigate issues and go backwards in this way. That's simply not going to be a viable reconstruction of purpose two. Now, I don't think it actually addresses the board's comments that well. I think it's just an attempt to get something back in that was rejected during phase one. So I hope we don't try to do that. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you. Milton, Brian.
Yeah, and at the same time, that's exactly what we have to do, because we tried to get explicit recognition of intellectual property, consumer protection, and those purposes in phase one, and it was rejected. You're right, but I don't know how we would do it then. The guidance from the EC is clear. It says don't conflate ICANN purposes with third party purposes. So we're trying to list them all. So I don't know how else we're supposed to do that. Thanks.
Thank you. Milton again.
Yeah, again, I think you're missing the point of the EC advice. The EC advice, the clear import of that is that you don't have a purpose to. That is, by its very nature, conflating ICANN's purposes with third-party purposes, and that we do create a system for disclosing redacted information to third parties that have a legitimate interest, but this is not a purpose of ICANN. And this is very clear from the EC advice and from the data protection law, and we were told this during the process. So again, I just cannot fathom why Brian is saying that we have to do this, because if we do that, we are again conflating ICANN purposes with third-party purposes. We're doing exactly what the EC is telling us not to do.
Okay, thank you, Milton. Please remember that we were asked by Keith to ask or to formulate questions or concerns that would allow council to engage with the board. And in that spirit, we need also to conduct this conversation. Probably answers or position statements may follow after those first questions or expression of concerns. So with that in mind, I'm now turning to Thomas.
Thanks very much, Yanis. To be quite honest, I'm not too concerned with the board's reaction to purpose two. We had lengthy discussions about the validity and legality of purpose two in the first phase. And I think that we will need to go through each and every scenario of potential lawful disclosure in phase two. So I think that probably our time is better spent on working on phase two and potential disclosure scenarios rather than trying to rewrite, if at all, the purpose that was so controversial in the first phase. So in a nutshell, I think we're not going to lose anything by just doing our work in phase two. I think we will pick up those scenarios in which a disclosure is lawful, but trying to fix purpose two will not add any lawful disclosure scenarios to our overall work product. With respect to the organization field, I think it would make sense for maybe a small drafting team as a subset of our group to write up how our original recommendation was meant to be implemented. I do have some concerns with the board just stating that what we came up with should not should be rejected because there is an issue with it. We did know that our policy needed implementation work. And as with WHOIS reminders, to which if you don't respond, you are at the risk of losing your domain name. If you carefully craft an information to the data subject about making up their minds about the organization field and changing the registrant field if there's a need to do so, then I think you can also have that data field deleted, because in legal terms, if the data subject does not populate the registrant field, if it does not consent to the publication of the organization field, the contracted party doesn't have any other choice than to delete that data. And the ICANN board input that this is to be rejected will potentially cause legal trouble for the parties involved.
So thank you, Thomas. I see Alan's hand is up. Alan, please.
Yeah, thank you. I disagree with Thomas. The only option is not to delete. The option is to continue to redact that field if the registrant has not weighed in and said what they want to do with it. So that is an option. That is, it can be a field that is published unless the registrant has been silent since we've enacted this new policy, in which case it's redacted. So I don't see why we're saying there is no option.
So thank you. Alan, look, what time is going, and we're spending maybe more time than we initially planned for this. I think this conversation is informative. And I would like to propose the following, taking into account the timeline which is given. Within, based on this conversation, within next 2-3 hours after the call, we will try to propose a one-pager, let's say, synthesis of concerns and questions that team may wish to provide GNSL Council, and we will annex all submissions to that synthesis page. We will post that synthesis page for silent procedure until tomorrow, hopefully that will allow us to submit at least the essence of conversation that we have, but also with the full submissions of different groups that have been provided so far. Would that be okay? I see Marika is asking for. Marika, please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Yannick. This is Marika. I'm just wondering, because the original ask or the initial ask from the council at this stage was really focused on any clarifying questions, concerns, or comments that the council could consider for its dialogue with the board, which again is really focused on, we're trying to understand the board action, asking any clarifying questions or already sharing any kind of concerns. And following that dialogue, the council is then expected to start thinking about or considering you know, what to do. You know, I think there are various options here. Either the council can accept the board's non-adoption, it can resubmit the recommendations as they originally were, or it can modify the recommendations. And I think, as Keith has shared, you know, in its consideration of the path to take, it will likely consult with the EPP team for its input. So I'm just wondering if it's worth kind of for this first document that goes back to the council, if we actually separate out, you know, those parts that are more focused on either, you know, explanatory, you know, background on you know, why the recommendation was as it was, you know, any clarifying questions, and share those, you know, at this stage with the council. But for that second part of, you know, what should happen or how should the council deal with the recommendations, that we maybe, you know, have a separate thread on that, because some groups may, you know, have just focused on the first part and not yet on the second. And it's that, you know, it's likely a second question that will come from the GNSO Council once they've had their dialogue with the ICANN board. So I'm just wondering if we take our approach and kind of take separating it out, we already share with the council the clarifying part, but continue further work for those that want to provide further input on what the council may want to consider on how to deal with it, and when the time comes to have that conversation with the council. Hopefully the group is in a good position with either a list of items or hopefully a consensus approach or agreement on what to recommend to the GNSO Council.
So thank you, Marika. Would that approach be acceptable to all? So then in Mark Anderson.
Thanks, Janice. Mark Anderson. I guess what I took Marika's suggestion to be is that we bifurcate our feedback to the GNSO Council. And I think we should certainly leave the window open to provide additional, you know, feedback or commentary to the GNSO Council. But I think at this phase, the GNSO Council via Keith has asked for feedback, you know, by Friday, by tomorrow, as I recall. And, you know, I think, you know, we've heard, you know, we have feedback from various groups. I think the more information we give the GNSO Council now, the better. And so, you know, we should provide the GNSO Council with, you know, with everything we've discussed now. Clearly we haven't come to consensus as a group. There's divergence, but that in and of itself is, you know, valuable information to the GNSO Council. So I think, you know, I think I prefer, what I'm trying to say is I prefer your initial suggestion, Giannis, where there is a distillation of the views and commentary that's been received so far, and that information is provided to the GNSO Council.
So thank you, Mark. We will try then to make this one pager or one and a half pager within next 2-3 hours, and then we will submit that for your consideration with a silent procedure or any comments. And if I may ask. To react to whatever will be proposed only if you are violently in disagreement. So not edit words and if conceptually you agree. We will of course use as a basis all submissions that have been provided, as well as conversation that we had right now. And hopefully we will be able to provide this first input and I understand that we will be also engaged with the council after this first input as they progress in the conversation, as council progress in conversation with the board. So May I take that this is the way how to proceed further? So thank you. We will do that. So next item, if I may get back our agenda. So next item is the SSID priority one worksheet. We had a conversation last time. A number of inputs have been provided. And if I may ask Marika to kickstart this conversation. Marika, please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Yanis. This is Marika, and I'm just putting the link in the chat. I can also share my screen, but it's a pretty lengthy document with a lot of comments, so it may be easier for you to review this on your own screen. And as you noted, we ran through the document during the last call and had a specific ask for the group to focus on kind of the basics of the document, trying to review or aiming to review, you know, the topics that we've identified, the order that we've proposed, the objectives that we've identified, and focusing the group's input on those items, as they will really underpin the next steps of our work and the approach taken. And I want to say thanks to everyone that, you know, has gone in and reviewed the document. And I do know that we, I think even while this call was on, people were still making edits and comments, and it seems that in a number of areas, I think the group has kind of moved on from the original ask of really focusing on, you know, do we have everything listed here? Do we have the right order? Have we appropriately captured the objectives? To actually diving into the substance of the conversation, seeing that there are a number of back and forths on some of the topics, which, of course, is good conversation. But you know, probably not necessarily specifically related to suggestions to update the worksheet at this point in time. What staff would like to propose, and I said, you know, you probably all will not have had time to look at all the comments, that, you know, either we take a couple of minutes now for people to look at these and kind of see if there's anything in there that, you know, you cannot live with. And again, you should focus on any specific changes that are being proposed. I think there are a couple of suggestions to reword some of the topics to make them more high level. I think there's some suggestions to change some of the references, for example, to use policy recommendations instead of referring to rules and requirements. I think there are also some questions on whether certain topics are in scope for the group to review at. So I think those are all items that probably fit within the consideration of changes to be made, and staff would like to suggest that following the call, we actually go ahead and for those changes that seem, you know, an improvement to the document and not controversial items, that we go ahead and apply those in a red line format so you can see what we've have updated, but that we do not include at this point any of the more substantive items, as said, where people have started conversations, but that will be brought back at the moment of when we get to the different topics. So I think our ask is to review the document and kind of flag, are there any issues that you think are you cannot live with if those are changed, or you know, we can also do it around reapply the changes and then give you an opportunity to flag if we've made any changes that you think require further discussion. And as I said before, I think a lot of the comments were very constructive and helpful, but in certain areas, I think the conversation has gone into a dialogue between participants, which again, is helpful, but not necessarily for the purpose of updating the worksheet at this time. So I don't know, Yanis, do you want to give everyone a few minutes to look at this, or do you prefer us to have a first stab at making the updates that, at least from our perspective, shouldn't be controversial, and then giving the group an opportunity to kind of look at that and flag if they do believe there's something in there that requires further conversation?
Yeah, no, thank you. Thank you, Marika. I don't think that you can review a 32-page document in a few minutes. Let me maybe suggest that please review document by end of tomorrow, and then staff will make a first cut based on every comment or suggestion that will be made by end of working day tomorrow, and will present the updated version also with the, how you said, red lines with the clearly indications of changes for the next meeting. In other words, on Tuesday you will get the document already edited by staff based on inputs and comments received. Would that be acceptable? Floor is open. If no one is taking the floor, I will take that is acceptable. No one is asking the floor, so then we will proceed that way. Thank you. So let us move now to the next item, and that is the first substantive discussion on the first building block that we will look at, and that is definition of groups, criteria, purposes, lawful basis per user group. So I would like maybe to ask Marika to kickstart the discussion, and maybe at the beginning focus exclusively to the definition of groups themselves, because there have been a number of comments already provided the initial proposal. But before giving floor to Marika, I see Sarah is asking for the floor. Sarah?
Well, thank you. I'll defer to Marika.
Okay. You will be then first in line after Marika. Marika, please. Floor is yours.
Yeah, thank you very much, Yanis. I'll go ahead and share the document. This is also the document that was circulated by email, and of course it may be easier for you to look at your own version to be able to scroll independently from my activity. So with this document, staff aim to kind of kick off the conversation on the user groups. I think you may have seen the email questions that we received, that you know, we looked at various documents that have touched upon on this topic. You know, based on our collective conversation, the discussion on that, came up with a list of user groups that you see here up on the screen. And I want to emphasize again that this is really a starting point for the group to start its deliberations. And we kind of tried to thought through, you know, all the potential instances in which third parties might request data and for which purposes. And again, that links as well to a number of the charter questions that have been identified in relation to this topic. So we thought it might be helpful as well to create a kind of template that we could use. And again, through deliberations, you know, update, modify, delete as needed. So that is what you really see up on the screen here. So we first of all try to kind of define the user group by giving it a label. And again, the label that we stuck on is you're of course free to change that label. And we try to kind of provide a definition of that group, a description of you know, who we believe fits in that category. And some thoughts in some of the cases, you know, for criteria that could be used to determine whether someone would belong to such a user group. And we tried to identify at a high level you know, the purposes that you know, this user group would have for requesting data. And then also we tried to identify the lawful basis for requesting data. And this really comes back to, I think, some of the conversation we also had in phase one on that topic. You know, another part that will need to be answered, but again, from our perspective, that was more appropriately done at the stage when the group has a broad agreement on the user groups, will be to look at, you know, what data elements are typically requested or necessary for the purposes that have been identified for that specific user group. So this is what staff do has put on the table as a starting point. I'm very pleased to see as well that many people have already started commenting. And so I think it's probably the moment to hand it back to you, Yanis, to manage that conversation and, you know, for the group to kind of deliberate how, you know, we can take this to a recommendation at the end of the day on this this topic that we can capture.
Okay, thank you very much. We have a number of requests now, starting with Sarah.
Thank you. Hello, this is Sarah. I want to thank you, Marika, for clarifying further where these groups came from and also for putting together the template, which I do think is a useful way to approach the different possible users for the system. That said, I'm not sure that this starting from groups is the correct approach. I would suggest instead that we should start from the purposes for processing data, which we have already agreed to as a team, and figure out from there who the users would be, as well as it says on the sheet, the data elements typically necessary. Once we know who the users would be, then we can, to Farzana's point, address whether they should be grouped together or if there should be some other way to manage them. But I'm not sure that approaching it from the starting point of having a list of groups is the correct way to deal with this. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Alan? Alan Greenberg, please.
Yep, thank you very much. Just in response to that last one, I assume that we are calling them groups because it was a convenient way of bunching similar things together, not necessarily because there was a formal group that would be representing them. In any case, I have a question, though. If we are going to be looking at things at down to which data elements are applicable for which requester, how does that going to play out in the long term if we end up having a new class of requesters? Does that mean the GNSO will have to reconvene a PDP? Because if the making the decision at the level of the data element is a policy issue, then that would mean a PDP would have to be reconvened. And that doesn't seem like a practical way to go forward. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Milton?
Yes, so partly I'm going to echo what Sarah said, that this really has the whole thing backwards, and some of these categories are just bizarre. Let me just give you some background here. The RDS working group, which tried to deal with some of these WHO issues over a course of 2 or 3 years prior to the EPDP, fundamentally wasted almost all of its time because they started from the idea of use cases or user groups instead of with purposes. And then all that did was everybody wanted to define their own particular user group as having some kind of right to access, and nobody was paying attention to the actual legal requirement of purposes being defined and data collected and disclosed being narrowly tailored to those purposes. And now we're making the same mistake, and this is really something we just have to cut short very quickly. Sarah is right, we have to define what are legitimate purposes for disclosure first, then we see which groups fit into those. I'm just astounded that anybody would propose a group called end users. Who is not an end user of the internet? And why is this even put forward as a category? Some of the comments on the list have already pointed out the point about law enforcement. Law enforcement agencies are certainly a specific category that have particular kinds of legitimate interests. But again, the point is the purpose, not, you know, whether they're EU law enforcement or non-EU law enforcement. And we don't really need to to set them aside as a user group so much as we need to understand when law enforcement has a legitimate interest under the law of getting disclosure of certain data elements. So I would assert very strongly that we need to set aside this discussion of user groups until we have defined the purposes that legitimately require disclosure. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Milton. Ashley?
Hi, thanks. This is Ashley with the GAC. I would take a slightly different tack here and first think, you know, whoever put this document together, because I think it is a good attempt to trying to structure our conversation and is very proactive in getting us to think about things rather than us spinning our wheels, which we sometimes find ourselves doing. That being said, and this is probably more of a point of order, having these documents and maybe, you know, clearly articulating that, you know, this is kind of, you know, being thrown out for discussion purposes, like this is a first reading, this is intended to give you an opportunity to react. And I think that's essentially what Yanis and Marika have already stated. So I don't see anything here that's binding us to what is on this paper other than triggering a conversation. And I think that's what we're starting to have. And I think this is a good conversation to have. I hear some coalescence around the idea of let's look at the purposes and go from there. I think this document kind of starts to frame things for us, and whether we agree to it or disagree to it, that's another story. But I appreciate having this conversation, and I think it's a conversation that needs to continue to be had, whether or not we stick with the actual groups identified here or not. So to sum up, thank you. I think this is a good first reading opportunity and discussion opportunity. I hope it continues, but I don't think, and I think we would probably all agree that we're not bound to this construct as currently presented, but it's helpful.
Thank you, Ashley. Exactly. It is intention just to trigger discussion. And I think the negative result also is a result. And as Milton said, maybe we need to go through the thing to start from something else. I cannot exclude simply since in the worksheet the groups user groups have been identified as a starting point. We followed the worksheet. SSID worksheet priorities. We will draw conclusions after this conversation. But since we still have about 45 minutes to go, let's use that time usefully and see where how far we will get. Next on my list is Mark S.
Mark SV, actually.
Oh, SV, sorry.
There are many Mark S's, but only one Mark SV.
Mark SV, please.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I had a few comments on this document. Thank you to staff for making it. I do think it's a great start, and I could tell that a lot of thought went into it. I don't think there is anything bizarre or astounding in it, so that's my feedback on that. I think there are two challenges related to a document like this. One is that, you know, we're using it as the basis of designing an engineering system at the end of the day. And so on the one hand, it is very common to start with user groups and profiles and personas in order to build an engineering group. So it's not unreasonable to start on this basis. And I think the failure of the previous PDP to use that information is because I don't think they were actually trying to design anything. I think it was just sort of I'm not going to say it. So it would be valid to start with these user groups and stuff like that. It's probably equally valid to start with the bases and attach the user groups to it. Both of them seem valid to me, as long as it's just an order of operation thing and not a way of disenfranchising certain groups by making sure they don't get attached to certain purposes. The other thing is, though, that within the document itself, I do think we are starting to conflate the use case, the bases and the use cases with the ultimate implementation of the system. So there are some concerns that I've seen on the list and within this document about, well, how would that be implemented? And I grant you, there are some interesting challenges about how some things are going to be implemented, but that doesn't mean that a user group isn't a user group. They are a user group if they have a valid use for the data, a legitimate interest in the data, or a legal basis for the data. The implementation is just a tricky complication based on that. We wouldn't argue a group out of existence simply because we haven't figured out how to pass along consent or deal with synchronization of different display surfaces for data that's in the same database to touch on some of the examples that have been out there. Those are real issues, but not a reason to disqualify a particular user group or their individual basis. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Alan Woods.
Thank you, Alan Woods, for the record. So I just a few initial comments, I suppose. Just the first one is just what Marika put into the chat there. And I actually think that the best way, well, first things first, thank you, Marika, for the work on this. And obviously, and the staff, I mean, we need to start somewhere, and ultimately definitely appreciate that we have to start somewhere, and this was a good start. But so the first thing is, I think it was Volker put into the comments as well, that in reality, there are two user groups. There's law enforcement and everybody else. And I think that actually is probably at this particular moment in time as close as we can go. And then I would just 100% agree with what Sarah was saying, that we probably need to look at, you know, the types of data that we're looking at as well. Of most import, I think we need to stop looking at and trying to define the purposes of user groups, because if we are going to be, and this is why I agree with Volker that it's, you know, law enforcement and everybody else, because if we're starting looking under 6.1f, for example, as being, which will be, and this is probably one of the reasons I got into a little bit of back and forth in the last document, apologies, Marika, if we keep using 6.1f, and 6.1f is going to be the majority of these purposes, it's not about the legitimate purpose or the legitimate business interest of the user group. It's the legitimate interest of the group in relation to the data that they are trying to see, and what is the individual purpose of that particular piece of data in the context of that particular instance. And I mean, and this is good, and I'm cutting to a very key issue that we're going to have to discuss at length, and there's going to be heated and there's going to be arguments on this, because that is the key thing. You can't define a person's, the release of data based on who the person is, but it's more so on what they're asking for in what circumstance. And I think that's the first thing that this document is kind of skipping over. So with saying that particular little bombshell, what I will also point out is I just want us to be very careful as well. I mean, if we're looking at the first one there as registrants, you know, I do have an issue with specifically saying that the lawful basis for requesting the data is a 6.1b. Remember, the registrant is the data subject. They don't need a legal basis. They own the data. So they don't have a legal basis. The legal basis for them is, in fact, the entire GDPR that is protecting their rights. So again, I think we're just starting a little bit too much ahead of ourselves. We have a lot more kind of basic legal questions that we need to ask and get answered as well before we can move into this particular aspect of it. And I think we need a bit more clarity throughout all the teams as to what exactly we're looking at ultimately going to be able to end up with in this particular instance.
Good, thank you, Alan. Stephanie?
Thanks very much, Stephanie Perrin, for the record. I think it does matter where we start in this business, because I think that we have a great danger of having things all kind of allied together. If you start with the concept that you are building a unified access model, I'm using the old language here deliberately, then you are building from an engineering perspective a system to provide access. And that's where you get use cases, and that's where you get user groups. However, what we are actually doing, as Alan was trying to point out there, is that we are trying to implement GDPR in a series of procedures and processes and management practices that give effect to the legislative intent. And quite frankly, as he pointed out, if you approach it from a user group, I mean, It will vary, as the DPAs have pointed out to us, on a case-by-case basis. You can't say that all cybercrime researchers, for instance, need the same data elements from everybody. It just doesn't work. It isn't proportionate, on and on and on. So if we start by figuring out tasks and address what Thomas wrote in the chat a moment ago, first we have to figure out who is requesting third-party disclosure, disclosure to a third party. Somebody has to figure out who that is and authenticate them and before they get to the next step. Then the request has to be limited and specific and all the rest of that. So somebody has to parse that request and determine whether there is a legitimate interest. And then somebody has to figure out how to actually provide the data and make sure that nothing goes awry in the passage from the door that they came in with their request to the disclosure of the data. So those are tasks. And it seems to me that we should be looking at this from a task perspective. Thanks.
Thank you, Stephanie. Alan, I think you have forgotten to take your hand. Next is Brian.
Thanks. I'll make sure that Alan, that it's not Alan's turn. Okay. So yeah, I want to say thanks to staff for putting this together. I think it's a great starting point, and we need to look at it this way. I think it's clear that we're talking about third-party purposes now and access that third parties need. So thank you to staff for doing that. And I think that we need to bake in here the registrant user group, because it seems to me that registrants need to be guaranteed in the policy that they're able to access the data. And the law requires that, but why wouldn't the policy require that the registrants be able to access data that's being processed about them in the system where it's being processed? That seems to be legally sound to me. And so I think that we should require that. May not be as familiar with the registrar accreditation agreement as the registrar stakeholder group is. I don't know that it's in there that registrants must be provided with their WHOIS data in the registrar portal. So it'd be great if we could fact check that and see if we need to do more work there or if that's already required. And we submitted comments to the list too about why this is a good idea. And we think it's important for standardized access to be able to do as much of this verification and authentication and all that ahead of time so that the data can be accessed based on minimal additional submissions at the time that it's requested. So I think that's probably it for IPC. Thanks.
Thank you, Brian. Mark SV, please.
Thanks, Mark SV. To Alan Woods, I don't think what you said was a bombshell at all. I thought it made good sense, and actually I agree with a lot of what Stephanie says too. So please let me clarify my previous remarks. When we talk about use cases, I think your concept of tasks maps into that. I think it's when you design a large online system and you have to accommodate various compliances with regulations like the ISO 27000 suite or something like that, you do have to design a system that understands, who will be doing what and what controls there are within the system to ensure that not only are you compliant, but you can be proven to be compliant with auditing. So I don't find that that's a contradiction at all. And to Alan's point, it is true that if you define some large aggregate user group and then just sort of willy-nilly sprinkle in a bunch of interests that they have, that is not going to be helpful, and you are going to wind up creating subgroups within the group. And so, again, whether you start with here are the bases and here's how groups map to it, or how if you start with the groups and say, here are the subgroups within them that have access to various fields,
either way, you're just sort of solving the problem slightly differently. You wind up in the same place. So as long as we recognize that, I could accept either method. That said, we already have this document. Introducing greater granularity into it is fine with me. We could flip it on its head. I don't think that that actually helps or not. But if people are more comfortable with it, certainly I could work with it either way. Thanks.
Thank you, Ryan. Oh, sorry, Mark. Next is Chris from GEC.
Thanks, Janice, and Chris for the Seven Sisters Record. Yeah, I mean, I quite like a couple of the suggestions made by different people. You know, Stephanie's suggestion about looking at it from a sort of a task focus point is maybe a good way, or just look, you know, focus on the actual purposes for third parties and you know, the sort of process and activity. I also quite like the idea of reducing some of the groups down, but you know, recognizing what Mark's just said really is, I think, what we need to be careful of. And I think some of the advice that we had from the European Commission on the first phase is, you know, making sure we don't use different people's purposes to conflate things. So I think you just need to be careful of that. So I think maybe a starting point, come down to the two groups. I think as Volker suggested initially, you know, of law enforcement and everyone else, and then look at the purposes or the tasks, and then split them into groups where the policies, the purposes fit. Then one maybe slightly in the weeds comment for me on law enforcement, and then, just need to be a little bit wary of, you know, a lot of definition of law enforcement is people with a badge and a gun. I think that's not necessarily helpful. You know, there's lots of governmental agencies that have a lawful purpose for, you know, investigation of crime. And that comes down to the second point, which is, you know, just mentioned cybercrime here. And you know, the data is used for more than just investigating cybercrime. I think that's a point Benedict raised a couple of times in phase one. So I'd like certainly that to be reflected, I think, going forward. Thanks very much.
Thank you. I will take now Alan Woods, then Alan Greenberg, and then I will maybe make a suggestion. Alan Woods, please.
Thank you, and I'll be very brief in this. And it's just that we seem to be coming back to the concept of the data subject request for the registrant, and as if to make it an easier process for us in this. Let's be very, very clear, and I think I'm mirroring something that Stephanie just put into the group there, the group chat there as well. By adding this kind of this concept of another place where a person's data is being held is not making it simpler. You're adding a third party to which will need to answer requests, because in this instance, they're going to be a controller as well. But a data subject can go to any controller and ask them the same question. And we can't really turn around to them and say, well, actually, I'm going to defer this to another data controller. You know, you have to answer it. It is your job and your legal obligation as a data controller. They can go to all three of them and ask exactly the same thing, and they will get the answer. So it's not actually making it easier. We're actually making it more difficult on ourselves, and we're increasing the liability. And it's not this concept of a problem shared as a problem thirded in this particular instance. It's a problem shared. It's just another person who's going to get just as badly liable on this. So it just, again, we need to be careful when we're talking about data subjects here. It is not a unifying reason for this. It doesn't help us. It just complicates matters. And I think we need to be careful of that.
Thank you. Alan Greenberg, please.
Thank you very much. When Stephanie had her intervention, she pointed out that one of the first things in actually addressing any request is you're going to have to authenticate the person, and they have to obviously have been authorized to get certain data or to be part of this overall process. So ultimately, we're going to end up coming up with categories or something. Now, there seems to have been a presumption in some of the people's comments that everyone in a single category gets the same data. And that is definitely not going to be true. So I think this is just a convenient way of starting to have the discussion. authentication, authorization, accreditation methodologies will likely be somewhat very close to the to how these are identified here. They may not be this exactly the same. And I'll point out that the legal basis for access is going to vary. We know legal basis for EU law enforcement is under laws that are not even GDPR. So we're conflating all of the various purposes and rationales for access into this simple into this discussion, because ultimately we're trying to build a single mechanism that will work for all cases and not have to build parallel mechanisms. So I think this is a fine way of going ahead. There will be lots more granularity, and what people end up eventually getting access to, if they get access, is not going to be solely determined by what group or category they're in, but it's just a way to start the discussion. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Milton, and then I will propose something. Milton, please.
Yes, thank you, Janice. So I haven't heard anything in the discussion that pushes me away from the original comment that Sarah made, which is that we start with purposes and we see how different users fit into those legal purposes. I thought I heard some progress from Chris, the GAC representative, in which he recognized basically the same point, saying that fundamentally the only useful starting point we have here is law enforcement versus everyone else, because law enforcement would have fundamentally different legal bases. But I have to disagree with Alan, and I think that this is a good starting point. This is not the right starting point. This is the second step. The starting point are the purposes. And as Alan and anybody else who likes these user groups has to admit, they're not uniform. They won't provide a solid basis for actually designing a system. So what are they for at this point? They are ahead of themselves. We have to define the legal basis in which data will be disclosed. It is the relationship between the requester and the data elements, which is the point Alan made repeatedly, that matters here. So we can't use this as a starting point. This is step two or three. It's not step one.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Milton. I hear you, and we will in 1 minute we'll try to see how that may work. But let me suggest. So many people said that we need to identify first purpose, and then we see who would be falling within the scope of that purpose, who could then make a request. So in any case, we will get to the question of who very quickly. And this proposal that was put forward for our consideration today was simply an attempt to cluster those who or requesters according to very broad lines which follow common sense and the nature of conversations we have had before. So, but we can also go start by looking at lawful or basis for request, and then try to identify who as a requester would fall under that basis. But since we're not prepared for that type of exercise, let me suggest that we take one of the proposed user groups. And so though there is a split in two, EU law enforcement and non-EU law enforcement, but let us look to one of them. And if you could put on the screen the roll down where is law enforcement as a group of requesters. Let's take first EU, and then we can see also non-EU. So in this table, you have a purpose, identified purpose for that, and then you have also the basis. So let us start with the lawful basis from GDPR 6.1e and 6.1f. Would this be a legal basis for law enforcement to request information? Alan. Alan Greenberg, please.
Sorry, that was an old hand.
Volker.
I would have to give that a no because the purposes for requesting the data are not the same as the purposes we've discussed under the GDPR. I mean, the purposes under the GDPR are purposes for the processor and for the controller to handle and process that data. The purposes for requesting data for law enforcement are from their law enforcement, and the lawful basis is based on their local law that gives them that right to access that data. So if we look to the GDPR as a basis for requesting the data, then we're looking at the wrong place same for the purposes for requesting the data. The only purposes under the GDPR that we can look at for these parties is when they actually process the data, but that's outside of our realm because that's how they process the data. That's nothing that we really have to concern ourselves with, other than that we have to make sure that they process it in a legal way. So the legal basis has to be something that they can point to under law, and the purpose for requesting the data is something that has to be defined under the GDPR, but is not something that flows out of our purposes necessarily.
Okay, thank you. Chris?
Sorry about that, I didn't unmute. If we obviously construct EU law enforcement data, I need to have a little bit of think about what Volker just said, process that properly, to be honest. But if we look at this 6.1f, that very much depends on the purpose. So law enforcement are not able to use 6.1f within the EU if they are carrying out a statutory function. So the only time that an EU law enforcement person would be able to use 6.1f if they were protecting the brand of the law enforcement. So if someone was to use, the FBI's website, fraudulently, or kind of to try and mimic it, that's the only time that, FBI is not a good example because they're not EU, but that's the only time that it would be able to use 6.1f. It's very dependent on purpose. And realistically, all lawful bases need to be considered and it needs to be linked to the purpose. So it definitely needs to be linked to that. So I think they're both relevant. But dependent on the purpose.
Thank you. Okay, thank you. Alan Woods.
Thank you. Chris, thank you for that, but I was actually trying my hardest to find that particular reference about, that if you are in a public authority that you can't use 6.1f, but you actually made a very good point and I understand where that's coming from. But I think, and that's one of the reasons why user groups is an issue there. Just because you're law enforcement and you may be able to use 6.1f under that, it's not, I don't think that was the necessarily, there we go. I don't think that was necessarily what is invisible. I think law enforcement here is in the context of the prevention and commission of crimes, etc. I mean, and this is where the problem is coming in defining user groups. My actual point, however, is that I think we're making it so much harder on ourselves, because again, it's not for us to decide the legal basis for a third party who has requested disclosure of data to us. It is up to the party requesting disclosure of the data to state their legal basis and for us to accept or not that legal basis. So by us creating this task of ourselves where we're trying to put into nice little boxes everybody at potential purpose is I think it's a crazy thing. And this comes back to my original point, it's about the request specifically of what data for what purpose. Because again, Chris, you pointed it out in a perfect way there, is the sense of just because it's coming from law enforcement doesn't mean it's a law enforcement related purpose. There is a myriad of purposes, and depending on the request itself, may have a different legal basis that they will then apply as being their legitimate purpose. So again, it just seems a bit difficult for where we're coming from. So thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Matt is next.
Thank you, Yanis. I just want to take a step back here for a minute. And actually, I think it was Margie who earlier made the point that we're supposed to be developing a global policy here. And we keep going back and forth between a global policy and a GDPR specific policy. So if we're creating a global policy, it makes zero sense to have user groups that are broken into EU law enforcement and non-EU law enforcement. I think actually what we should be doing is creating user groups that are jurisdictional in nature, so that you would have, you know, law enforcement from the jurisdiction of the either the data, the registrar or the service provider, the registry and the registrar, and law enforcement that was non-jurisdictional. So I don't think this distinction between EU law enforcement and non-EU law enforcement makes any sense in the discussion and the policy we're trying to draft here. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Brian?
Yeah, that's a great point, Matt, and I would definitely second that. I think that's a key distinction. And I'd say to the group, guys, we have a lot of work to do here, and we need to think about a lot of different purposes, third-party purposes, and spec those out. And the investment now in doing that was really going to cut down on the 6.1f requests down the road if we can kind of anticipate as many as possible and define, you know, which ones have a legal basis and what is it, and to really do all that homework that we need to do. And there's probably a lot of groups with a common purpose, and probably more than we're on this user group document. So we're totally on board with starting with the purposes. It seems like a good starting place. Let's establish the purposes that people might have with a lawful basis. Let's group as many of those together as possible and get some clearance that doing that is legal. And then I think that's really going to cut down on the 6.1f requests if people can get that in a kind of standardized way. Thanks.
So thank you. Volker?
Yeah, just a brief one. And while we're at it, I mean, we should be making use of the wisdom and the ideas of those people that we believe are actually in those groups that have those purposes. As in, why don't we go and ask the Public Service Working Group what they think the purposes for law enforcement would be and what the legal basis for making a request would be? Instead of us thinking what it might be when they deal with that on a day-by-day basis and have to make justifications for requests with other providers in other areas of the world where they need data, whereas we would have to suck it out of our thumbs and maybe make an erroneous assumption that we would have to revise down the road. So let's go to the experts and ask them. Let's ask the people that have the legal expertise on that.
Okay, may I suggest, or may I ask to everyone who wants and who can put down 1, 2, 3, 10 purposes that you see we need to look at. In other words, to create this basis for initiating this conversation, so that we can try this another approach. So we identify purpose, then after that we identify who might be the requester, and then we will take from there. Would that be sensible, Marika?
Yes, thanks, Janis. This is Marika, and I'm actually very happy to report that a lot of that work has already been done in a number of different initiatives, including the RDS PDP working group. And I'm just posting here in the chat as well, and I think at the outset of the work that I had did on, I think that was the Calzona model, or maybe already temporary specification, it actually went out to the community and asked everyone to identify, you know, for what purpose certain groups needed data. And that is actually something we used as well as inspiration to build the table that we did, where we looked at all the purposes that were identified here, and we tried to kind of take them up to a slightly higher level, and as well kind of group them then to the kind of requesters. So I think the group should consider what of this can be used instead of reinventing the wheel. And I can just share as well, at least from the experience of the RDS PDP working group, that group really struggled as well, struggled, I think, for months to kind of decide where to start. You know, do we start with purposes? Do we start with users? Do we start with data elements? And it took a lot of time to actually, I think, come to terms with the fact that they're so interlinked that it's really difficult to do one without thinking about the other. And again, I think that's where, you know, we try to use the approach with the table, so to kind of do it in a, at the same time. So, because for each of the user groups, we try to, you know, flag the purposes for requesting the data and kind of aligning those two. You know, obviously, maybe we've missed purposes, or maybe we've missed aligned, you know, groups of users. But that was a little bit the thinking behind, you know, doing that in a collective manner instead of doing it, you know, separately. So I just want to put that on the table. I said, you know, the document I put in the chat is an accumulation of a lot of different groups that put forward their specific purposes. I think they also went into the details of the data elements needed. So again, I think this is also a resource that we could use for the further or the next steps of our work. A lot of thought has already gone into this, so I hope we can find a way not to reinvent or redo that work, but use what has been done and where a lot of people have already put a lot of thought in moving this conversation forward.
Okay, thank you, Marika. So that means that we have already a list of purposes that I understand from your intervention. If so, maybe we will put then those already existing list of purposes which have been identified and compiled for in the previous exercises to Google Doc and see whether that may be kind of complemented by team members. And then we would try to match the purpose and identity of requester and see whether that would bring us any further in the conversation. But I also tend to agree that probably we need to think in at the same time in three dimensions. And create that matrix first and foremost based on common sense and on our experience in real world, how that may work if we get to that unified model or standard. But of course we're at the beginning and we need to try different ways and see which would bring us to the conclusion that all of us expect. Probably at this point we need to stop this discussion here. As I mentioned, we will publish the list of purposes. We will ask team to look at them, and we would try to redesign tables based on those purposes, and we will come back to that during the next meeting. Would that be acceptable? Okay, we will give it a try. So thank you very much. Also, probably we will stop using EU law enforcement, but as was suggested, we use the jurisdictional term. And let us now move to the next agenda item, which was any other business. So we started reviewing priority two worksheets. We had the first call with the team members who would join us. We went through two worksheets, which probably are posted somewhere now. Marika, they are posted somewhere.
Sorry, Yanis, which is what is called?
Those two worksheets that we worked on in the first call.
We didn't want to distract from what we're discussing today, so they're going to be posted immediately after the call for people to review.
Okay. So the next call to review worksheets on city field reduction and data retention is scheduled for 12 June, as you see on the screen, and then 17th of June for two other worksheets. These dates have been suggested based on also my availability and availability of staff, and so that's why they are not strictly scheduled on Tuesdays and Thursdays only. But I took note of the remarks on the chat that we need to stick on Tuesdays and Thursdays as a days for call, and we will try to accommodate that to the extent possible. So any comments on this? If not, then I will ask Caitlin to recap the action items that we agreed during the call.
Thank you, Yanis. This is Caitlin. I've captured the following action items. First, the support staff will update the working definitions based on the input received from the EPDP team during today's call. Second, each group to nominate one representative for the representative legal committee and let the chair know the nominee by the next meeting on June 12th. Within 2 to 3 hours after this call, support staff will work with the chair to produce a one-page synthesis of concerns and questions the team wishes to provide to the council regarding the GNSO board resolution. All full submissions will be annexed to that synthesis page. We'll post that by tomorrow, Friday, 6th June, and the team will react only if there is violent disagreement with the concepts rather than editing the document itself. The team is to review the priority one worksheet on a standardized system for access and disclosure by tomorrow, Friday, June 7th. Support staff will edit the document based on the suggestions and provide it to the team by Tuesday, June 11th. And lastly, support staff will put the previous list of purposes into a Google Doc, and team members can add to it. and then we can take the list of purposes and match it to requesters, and we'll revert to this at the next meeting. Thanks, Yanis, back over to you.
Thank you, Caitlin. Any disagreement? I see none. I also want to say that for personal reasons, Steve Crocker couldn't make a presentation during this meeting, but I contacted him and he would be ready to make a presentation during the next meeting on 13th, but at the second part of the meeting. So I will factor that in and will propose that presentation on June 13th. So with this, I thank you very much for your inputs in the conversation, and wish you good rest of the day. This meeting stands adjourned.
And once again, the meeting has been adjourned. Thank you, everyone, for joining. Please remember to disconnect all remaining lines and have a wonderful rest of your day.